before you're seated, can you welcome each other to church this morning? Anyway, we're thankful that you're here this morning. You know, in our humanness, it's always good to be reminded of what we believe as Christians, right? Because even though we could be a Christian a long time, we've read the Bible however many times, in our humanness and our fallenness, in the midst of frustrating times in the valley, we seem to forget what God's done already in the past, right? And so this song is basically just proclaiming the truth that, you know, we can trust and believe that what we've known from the beginning of our relationship is still holds true today in the midst of whatever's going on. We believe in God the Father, the Son, His grace. He's coming back again someday, right? So if those things, you can get those in your head before you get hit those frustrating times, and you can walk through them easier, I think, right? So you guys know this song. Let's sing it out.
I believe in the
This next song is called Who Am I? And I think the most important lines in this song are these. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Boy, doesn't that go against everything the world wants us to believe? Nothing about me is good enough or perfect enough that I can get to Christ, get to God. It's only because of his sacrifice and his grace that he's provided that bridge to a holy God, right? And so that's the truth that I want you to get out of this song, is that you are really nothing without God. He loves you in that nothingness. Don't get me wrong. God loves you before you accept him. He loves everybody. But what he wants is best for you, and that his best is that way to Christ, that bridge that he provides that only he can do, right? So let's sing this out.
The bright and morning star, who choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. You catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am Thank you.
Well, this next song is just one of those reminders that, you know, there's many voices that compete for our heart and for our mind and for our time. And sometimes we as humans, it's not that we mean to, but we listen to the voices that maybe sound nice and sound sweet and say the things that we want to hear, right? Well, that never turns out well for us. Because, again, the world is just trying to lead us down paths that we certainly enjoy, that we certainly long for, that are certainly desires, but they're things that lead to destruction, aren't they? Even the things that seem so good can take the attention away from the one who deserves our all. And so this song came out several years ago, but it's called You Say, and it just reminds us that we need to be listening to God and God alone. And that when we do, then all of a sudden we have a healthy view of the world in which we live in. We have a healthy view of who we are, and we have a healthy view of our God Almighty. And so I hope that you listen always to what he says, that you would know his voice. Let's sing it.
Believe what you say of me.
This next song, a lot of times I do this one at Easter just because it proclaims that truth of that day, the death, the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection. But it never hurts to be reminded about this all year long, right? The moon and stars, they wept. I just love the way the words of this portray this, like the heart of it. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. Even nature cried that day, right? His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse was on him that day. Take that for a second. Like, think about that. The weight of all of the sin of the universe, everybody, was on him that day. So if you guys know this, just sing it out.
Alive. death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
How's everyone? Good? Did you have a good week? It's kind of interesting when the week starts and it's the new year. I don't know. I almost started off with excitement, but tired already. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're starting another year. Are you kidding me? Anyway, it's kind of interesting coming out of Christmas because, again, that's kind of a busy time for the church. But I've been standing in awe of all the amazing things that God allowed us to be a part of and some of the beauty that he drew us into so that we could speak some wisdom and shine some light. And so thank you guys for a wonderful Christmas season. Thank you for wearing your faith on your sleeve. As we've been praying about where we would kind of head in this new year, there was a couple of ideas that were rolling around in my head for the last couple of months. And I wasn't sure exactly where we were going, and Kirtland was kind of talking with me, and I said, you know, I got to pull the trigger on some of this stuff. So the next few days, I just really am going to sit with the Lord and try to understand where he would like us to go. And like never before, I guess I've been aware of the times in which we're living. And, you know, that's kind of interesting to me because I watch the news, and as you know, sometimes I get frustrated with the news and the news cycle and some of the things that they try to sell. And I was thinking of some of the big stories that really weren't big stories, some of the things like the Jeffrey Epstein case, how a man who was involved in so much that we know of could simply disappear, and his passing was tragic because he's still a soul. You know, and then Maxwell would be kind of put into the prison system and kind of tried and disappear in the prison system. And yet all of these powerful men and women who surrounded themselves with these two would simply just not be spoken about at all. And I was kind of reminded of the unbalance that we see in this world when it comes to power, when it comes to news, when it comes to the rich and the famous and all of those things. And I kind of said, you know, we're living in a time that we as believers had better be very aware of prophecy. We're living in a time when we should be kind of hyper-vigilant of some of the things that are happening in our culture, because so much of it is pointing to the end game. Even in our year in review, when we talk about gender-neutral aisles for toys, like, we've got to start understanding that there's an agenda that is out there, and it's alive and well, and it is really being sold. And so I was going, Lord, you know, we need to be very aware of you. We need to, like never before, be mindful of your leading and your voice. And I was going, Lord, I want to know your voice so much more intimately. That again, like his sheep will know his voice. Well, again, I don't want any counterfeit to ever kind of come in and lead me astray in the sense of just to take my focus. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is really calling us to a new level of dependence. And he's longing for that with us. Like, he is longing to be poured out. We're told that in these days. And so it's kind of an interesting thing. I'm saying, Lord, walking with you is going to be something that the church needs to take another look at. And so I wanted to start off this season by looking at 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. And this isn't one of those verses that's a happy-go-feel-good kind of verse, but it's one of those verses that I think should make us aware. It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And I was thinking of that, those verses, and I'm going, you know what, there's so many warnings that are very, very, very clear when God is trying to get the attention of his church. And I thought, man, walking closely in step with the Holy Spirit is going to be something that is vital in the days that are ahead of us, right?
And then I think of my own life. I'm going, Lord, do I desire you? And I really believe that there's a heightened desire that I have for God because of the days in which we're living, right? Like I'm kind of going, I am so much more aware of him than I would have been 20 years ago. And I don't believe that that's by chance. And you know what? I can't believe it's because I'm a wise man or because of maturity, because you guys know that that's not my two strengths, right? Maturity and wisdom. And I'm kind of going, Lord, you are pouring yourself out. The Holy Spirit is moving. And I really feel like there's a new level of conviction that is needed in the church and in our lives, right? That we need to be aware that the new Jerusalem is coming, right? And if we did, then I think all of a sudden there would be a heightened zeal in the church. Right? There would be a heightened excitement to share the story that God has given us, that we would actively be pursuing obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so I want to ask you, do you feel that in your life? Do you hear the Holy Spirit on a moment-to-moment basis? Like, do you find yourself being dependent upon him? I hope you do. I hope that there is that heightened awareness for you, right? And not only do we need a new level of conviction in the church, but this has been interesting to me. I really believe that we need a new level of repentance within the church. And the reason why I say that is we need to start honestly looking at self and looking into the Holy Scriptures, right, which are supposed to, again, reveal Christ in us. And as we look, we're supposed to be in transformation. And you know what? Not looking for guilt, but looking for that conviction to say, wow, I am in such need of a holy God that I'm found running to him with all of my days. Running to him, right? And that's my desire. He is my desire, that I have a new desperation for God. Why? Because I just want to surrender. I just want to obey. No more arguing, no more negotiating, just this real raw hunger for him. Do you have that? And so my dream for this new year, and I was kind of talking with Kurt like this, he goes, well, so where are we heading? And I said, we're heading into this series of rediscovering the wonder of God. I said, I want to be captivated by my God into a level that I just haven't maybe experienced before. Why? Because think of who he is. I was that old Oak Ridge Boys song, You're So Heavenly Minded, You're No Earthly Good. Remember that one? I was thinking of that song, and I said, Lord, yeah, I get that. I've been a part of that kind of a church where people were so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. And I had some discussions right around Christmas time because people were saying, man, your church is just so active, and your church does so many good things. And I'm saying, well, we praise the Lord for that. And it's an awesome honor to be able to be a part of what God is doing. Kingdom things on earth, it's an honor. And they were sharing some disappointment. They go, well, our church doesn't do any of those things. Like, our church is just kind of, boy, we're tight. Right? And I'm kind of going, well, that's good too. Like, you need to be tight. You need to be brothers and sisters. You need to be iron sharpening iron. But it was very evident to them that they were missing something. And I kind of was able to share with him, I want our church to be so heavenly minded that we become the conduit between heaven and earth. Like, we will be so earthly useful because we'll be heavenly minded. Like, we will understand that his return is imminent, and we will want to touch all that we see. And that whole verse from Matthew 5:16, when, you know, we have this idea that our light should so shine before others that they would glorify God. Like, we should be captivated by the wonder of an almighty, holy God who loved us so completely that he would come and die. Do you have that in your life? You know, is your light shining in a way that makes others' brains kind of tingle? Right? And if we truly believe that time is short, and I do, I really feel like there's going to be this new awakening within the church, and I'm excited for that. I want that. I long for that. I've been praying for that. This new generation. Right? Of wonder with God in all that we see in the world today. And here's the problem. Like, this has been a problem for years and years and years. It's been a problem since the conception of the church, right? You read Paul's writings, and he saw some of this times too. But it's often there's a lot of times the church gets stopped. Right? Like that individual was kind of saying, you know what, we're a good group. We get together. We're good people. I have no question that they're saved, but they're kind of saying, man, we don't do anything outside the walls. Right? And we're kind of happy if nobody comes inside the walls, because then we don't have to say hi to anybody new. Like, it's kind of, we're tight, and that's good. And I'm going, wow. Why do those things happen? I think that those things happen in the church because there's a lot of times we get comfortable. We don't like change. We like our routine. Right? We become this we become very comfortable with our comfort. Right? And anything that threatens our comfort or asks us to change, well, then all of a sudden we look through, you know, skeptics' eyes. We kind of say, well, maybe that's an enemy. You know what? I'm kind of comfortable. Why in the world would God call me to be uncomfortable? Are you kidding me? God calls us to be uncomfortable. In our walk and in our faith, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me, in God, we would have peace. But in this world, we will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world, he says. Like, he tells us that there's going to be trouble. We're not called to be comfort. Well, a lot of times in the church, comfort seems to be the focus, isn't it? And that's easy for that to happen. Because there's nothing required of us, right? Woo! Let's just join hands and sing Kumbaya, right? And certainly there's a place for s'mores in there, because that's a campfire song, right? And we can get stuck in our potlucks and loving one another, and that's about it. And you know what? Before we know it, we're just waiting out until the Lord returns and we hear that trumpet. But you know what? North America, it's interesting to me. We've gotten in a place where we desire our comfort. You look around the world, Christians are not comfortable right now. You know, the persecuted for Christ, you go on their website and you look at some of the things that are happening in the world right now. Like, we have brothers over in Egypt, which is amazing to me. And again, I follow the Egyptian church, the Wesleyan world over there in Egypt, because it has roots to the Standard Church. Some of you know that I grew up in the Standard Church, and of course they amalgamated with the Wesleyans. But our church plants that I was very aware of since I was a little tiny boy, I watched us give sacrificially so that we could take the gospel to Egypt. Right now in Egypt, there's times when they go to church where they don't know if they're coming home. And why do I say that? Reports often of Christians being locked inside their buildings and their buildings burnt to the ground with them in it. Like Pastor Atif, I told this story before. That the Egyptians that were beheaded on the beach and the 13 jumpsuits that we saw. You know, a person who was, we had the privilege of sitting down with him, and one person, kind of in our North American ignorance, asked him, they said, how in the world did the church change after those men gave their lives, willingly sat there and said, we will not deny our Christ. And they knew that they were going to lose their heads. And on camera, every one of them died for the gospel. And they said, how did that change the church in Egypt? And he was perplexed by the question. He said, I don't understand. And they said, how did that change the church? I mean, the church must have been fired up. Are you kidding me? Our ignorance in North America, the church in Egypt is already fired up because they're willing to kneel and have a sword to their head. Pastor Atif said this. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I still don't understand the question. And yet we're comfortable here. I don't want you to think that that's normal. Our comfort. You know, I read of North Korea. In North Korea, if you are a Christian, you are an enemy of the state. And I was reading different interviews, and one fellow was over there with one of the larger churches, and they were saying, you know, we pray for our Korean brothers and sisters. We pray that persecution would stop. And the pastor stopped the interview. He said, don't do that. And the interviewer was kind of confused. He said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, we here in Korea know what our faith is worth. We here in Korea pray that persecution would begin in North America. Like, what a mind-blowing interview. Of understanding that, you know what? We're not called to be comfortable. And how does that happen? It happens like this. I think that there's many times here in North America, and you know what? This is something that I think is going to be new. It's on the horizon. We have boiled God down a little bit so he's just simply a friend. Right? We've boiled God down to a friend, and we're so comfortable around him that here is the reality. We take him for granted. And again, don't get me wrong, friendship with God is the greatest thing that you will ever experience in your life, and you are called to walk with him, and he loves you, and he cheers you on, and he does all the things that the best friend that you think you have should be doing every moment of your life. God is an incredible friend, but he's also holy. And while he longs to laugh with us, and he hears us, and he cries with us, you know what? We've come accustomed to a God that we feel is fun. Like, we like fun God, and we like caring God, and we like the God who comforts, and we like the God who laughs with us. But somewhere along the way, there's a piece of this understanding that he is holy that I think sometimes in North America we forget. You know, Leviticus 20, Leviticus 21, 1 Peter 1, Exodus 19, 1 Thessalonians 4, they all have this big reality check where God calls you and I to be holy because he is holy. That you and I are to be holy. And how does that happen? Well, it happens through discipline. Oh, we don't like that God. It happens through conviction. Oh, conviction isn't really my happy place, so. And so what do? Here in North America, it seems like either we hold God with such friendship that we're buddy-buddy with him, or we go to the extreme of that, which is kind of scary, where instead of being a friend, we're either a friend or we're afraid.
It happens through conviction.
And we're stuck. Like, how in the world do we get that uncomfortable with God that we fear him? Well, you know what? There's a lot of people that fear him. So those are the two extremes, and it scares me, right? Like you remember, even just as we went through the Advent, one of the covenants we looked at was the covenant with Moses in Exodus 20, 18 and 19. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with what? They trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we're going to die. Right? And so the two mistakes we make is either we foolishly boil God down to a friend that we take advantage of, or we stay away from him because we fear him. Do you ever feel like your faith is just holding on? like we do have seasons like that. Right? Like, we're just going, man, I am moments from destruction. I am moments from failing. I feel like I'm in free fall, right? And so we're going, okay, Lord, I am having such a hard time understanding all that you are that I feel like the pieces that you've showed me I'm choking on. Right? Like, I can't, my brain can't take any more of God. Have you ever been in that place where God is so overwhelming, right? But the problem is when we start to feel the breadth and how big God is and how far he reaches, it can be a little overwhelming. Well, then the problem is that we start to fear him. Why? Because we reset to this default of you know what, I've just got to survive, what's next? And we really don't want to press into God because God has already made our lives so uncomfortable that we're fearful of any change that may come because we're having a hard time with the changes he's already asked. And yet, do you realize that God awaits us each day? And he wants to lead us, and he wants to lead us on paths that are right. He wants to lead us in fantastical ways, and yet there's so many times where we're so overwhelmed by how big God is that we just, you know what, we're like the people of Israel. We're just, man, God, I'm just holding on. You know what? I love you, and I love what you're doing, but I'm overwhelmed. Just let Andrew and Kirtland and Tracy speak, because I just can't do it anymore. Like, I want to press in, but Sunday's enough. I want to press in, but Tuesday is enough. And so we think that, you know what, I'm good. Go to church once a week. Woo, that's better than most. Like, I'm doing okay. We feel like we've got enough to sustain. We hear him enough through a third party once a week that we really feel that that's enough for his leading. Do you know God waits for you every morning? Not Sundays, not Tuesdays. Every morning he waits for you. Every morning he waits for you because he longs to commute with you to work. He longs to do work with you. He longs to be a part of those relationships. He longs for lunch with you. Like, think about that. Like, there's times when we get together, it's like, okay, whew, we're getting together with Rob and Tracy. We're going to have some dinner, and you know what? That's happening on Thursday. Can't wait for dinner. It's going to be awesome. And what do? You plan, right? You buy some things, right? You try to get together, you get everything prepped, and then all of a sudden that day comes and you're going, this is awesome, and we have that awesome fellowship, and we have those conversations that we've been waiting for. Woo, this is great. Well, you know what? God waits every meal for you. To have that fellowship, to have those conversations, to have, to do life with you. Day by day, by day, by day, by day. That we are called to keep in step with him. Right? Not Sundays and Tuesdays. To keep in step with him day by day. Do we do that? Or are we overwhelmed by him? You know, being stuck is a crazy thing. And being stuck because we fear is awful. I've done a couple of mission trips in my life, and they've always been an amazing time of being outside of my comfort zone. One of them was I was gone to Croatia, and some of you have heard about this many times, but in Croatia right after the Bosnian War, and we were with Christian brothers and sisters, and they had lost everything. So one feller, we were sitting in this open roof cafe. It wasn't supposed to be an open roof. It was just, we saw where the missile went through his wall and blew up his building, and so there's just, he's slowly rebuilding with rocks and clay, and there's these ruins that we're sitting in, and he goes, welcome to my home, and we're all like, wow. And he's serving us coffee that he probably could have sold to really survive the next month, but he was so excited that we were there that he was sharing with us what little he had, and we were going through bomb cities, and then I remember that afternoon they said, we have something that we need you to emotionally prepare for because we're going to a rape camp. And I was kind of saying, what in the world is a rape camp? We got there and they said, you know what, there, you'll see red flags that are marked around the camp. Please don't wander beyond the red flags. And they went on to explain that these Croatian women, their husbands and their sons had all been murdered as part of the war. And they were put in these camps. What was the purpose of these camps? Soldiers were left behind to rape them daily until they knew that they were pregnant. And then once they knew they were pregnant, they mined them in, put mines around the camp to make their existence incredibly hard. And then they went on to the next town. And so we were told, you know what, you're going to have kids, and the kids really don't have a whole lot of attention. Why? Because the kids are reminders of what the women have lost and everything that has been taken from them. So here is children who are a result of rape, and the kids, they want to play, but they don't understand why mama doesn't love them or why mama has a hard time caring for them. And you know what? There's going to be kids who have one leg or have been disfigured. Why? Because they found the mines as they started to wander through to get supplies and try to figure out how they were going to live and how they were going to eat and how they were going to make it through this time in their life. And so don't go anywhere beyond the red flags, because some of those places haven't necessarily been checked yet. Now you're safe as long as you're within the red flags. And so we're sitting there with these people, and I'm going, Lord, how horrible it was to watch people who were stuck in fear. And it just showed me just the cruelty, the horror that man can do to man. And I was going, Lord, how horrible it is to see those who are stuck in fear. But yet, you know what? There's so many times where the church just seems paralyzed too, because they've never found that balance. We either befriend God in such a way that we take him for granted, or we are fearful of God in such a way that we're paralyzed and stuck. Just surviving with our faith, that's not what God calls us. Frustrated by the changes that God is asking. You know what? There needs to be a place in our life where we embrace the changes that God asks. Why? Because we start to understand how good God is. It's not about survival and it's not about comfort. Right? And somewhere in there, we forget our mission, this whole idea that God in Matthew 28 has asked us, that he said, you've been given all authority in heaven and earth. All authority in heaven and earth are yours, church. All authority in heaven and earth is yours. Now we are to go and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, and so what is the will of God? Like, how does that get lost? What is the will of God? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some of you understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What is the will of the Father? That all should come to repentance. But we're so focused on our friend or so fearful of God that all of a sudden we've forgotten our mission. This quote from Francis Chan, like, his writing is a little too raw sometimes. Like, you know those guys that you love, but you'd love to punch them too? He said, do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it's about loving God and loving the people that he's made? That's such a simple sentence, and yet it's been one that has kind of really challenged me over the last few years. Do you know, church, like, think of the year that's ahead, think of the days in which we live. Do you know, church, that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people that he has made?
That's such a simple sentence, and yet it's been one that has kind of,
you know, God doesn't want us stopped in our faith for fear of what he will ask. He wants us to trust him because he's good. He doesn't want us stuck in our faith because we're so comfortable with our comfort. He doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be active. He wants the church in this day and age to be found in wonder of him. Desiring intimacy with him. Do you do that? Like, that's something to chase after in this new year. That's something to chase after in this day in which we live, to desire intimacy with him. Being swept away by the wonder of God. Right? And that doesn't happen by chance. That happens when we are in pursuit. Right? That's what I want to talk about over the next coming months. Like, this idea of going beyond the mistake of fearing him and not making the mistake of boiling him down to a friendship that we take for granted. I want us to chase after a holy God and trust him in all the wonder. Do you desire that? The days in which we live, I hope you do. Let's do this. Just bow your heads. You know, intros are kind of strange. It's one of those things where I'm torn. Like, we, over the next coming weeks, we kind of want to challenge you. And challenges are awful, right? Andrew, you need to lose weight, my doctor says. And I'm going, yeah. At least I haven't gained weight. Stop making excuses, Andrew. Okay. We don't always like to be challenged. But there's a difference. There's a difference when it's God Almighty who is challenging you, isn't it?
Right? Andrew, you need to lose weight, my doctor says, and I'm going,
This idea that we could be on the move, why? Because the Great Commission is still there. Because the will of the Father is that none should perish. But how do we do that when we take Him for granted all the time? How do we do that when we fear the changes He may ask for so much that we're paralyzed? Like somehow, church, we live in a day and age and we've got to find the wonder of God. That in the days in which we live, it's not about existing. It's not just about getting home safe. It's about letting our light shine so others would glorify Him. Oh, that we would be filled with that zeal. Oh, that we would have that balance in our life. My hope is that this year you desire intimacy with Him. Intimacy that you've never experienced before. That you would hear God in new ways. You'd see God in new ways. His conviction, oh, it would be embraced. Why? Because He is good. That we would be found running to Him, chasing after Him, seeking Him. That His will would be our will. Are you there? I believe there needs to be a newness in the church. Why? Because the days are new. And the time is short. Oh, that we would be found desiring all of God. All of His wonders. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I know that the next few weeks we're just going to have some interesting challenges, Lord, on this whole idea of seeing You anew. Of recognizing Your power, recognizing Your desires, recognizing Your timeline. Lord, there's a lot of times I feel like the church in North America, again, it's kind of a critique, but Lord, we've been asleep or we've been too buddy-buddy. We've been fearful. We've been fearful of what You may ask, so we stopped asking questions. Or we choose to laugh with You. We never hear those moments when Your voice changes tone and You challenge us. Lord, for years I think the church has made mistakes of putting You in boxes. And I pray that, Lord, this new year, we'd get rid of the box. Every box that we've ever put You in, we would destroy, and in essence, set You free. It's not that You're contained. It's us that are limited. Take away the limitations and let us get lost in the wonder of who You are. And I pray all these things and thank You for those things in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.